The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Yeah, it's going to be exactly the same as yesterday. Graham won't practice. Shamar, Bradley, and Shelby will be limited. And Noah's good to go.
He came out good. I'd say he got about somewhere between 12 and 15 plays. Did the individual work. Hope to do a little more with him today and see where he's at. I think last week this time I was still optimistic, but I think I'm about the same.
That's Vic Fangio talking about Bradley Chubb. Within the past hour, I was down at Dove Valley, Tyler, and they're just warming up. They're doing a dynamic stretch.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, just this is what you just do. And they're in full gear, by the way. They were in full pads today. Maybe they were not full pads yesterday. I don't know. And they were about halfway through the stretch, and Chubb just tapped out of the stretch.
Wow. Just during the stretch, huh? I mean, were you watching him? Did you see what was happening?
Couldn't miss him. 5 feet from him.
Okay.
I mean, they were just right there.
All right, so I know Lauren Landau's stretch relatively well because I trained with him for the majority of my career, and it's a very active, dynamic warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
So moving parts, were you kind of doing some high knees?
High
doing
knees.
Some carried out? Okay.
1,000% what it was.
All right.
High knees, tapped out. He was lagging behind. This is not like some sort of fast thing. He was lagging behind the other guys doing high knees to the degree where he was like getting lapped as they kind of do high knees up 10 or 15 yards and back 10 or 15 yards. It was like that. And then he just walked off. You can see the whole thing actually, a good part of it at DMAC1043 at Twitter. And it was like, whoa, there he goes.
Well,
and
that's not good.
He was fully geared up. Like, Graham Glasgow was out there for the stretch, but he didn't have any pads on. Mm-hmm. He had shorts on. He had a hat on. I mean, clearly wasn't practicing. Bradley Chubb was dressed for practice. All pads, helmet, everything. And he goes off to the side. He consults with the trainers a little bit. I'm just watching. Will he get back into the stretch? Didn't get back in the stretch. Walked down the sideline a little bit more. Took his helmet off. Got some water. Just kind of whatever. Then they, break it down. It's Josie Jewell today. 1, 2, 3, go Broncos. And he did go off with his helmet on with the rest of his outside linebackers to just do their individual sort of stuff. But, I mean, it was to the degree that he needed to basically tap out of the dynamic stretch at the beginning of practice today.
Yeah, well, that's not good, man. I mean, that's a bummer to hear. I mean, clearly something is not right there. I'm shocked to hear that he would tap out that early without even getting into practice. I mean, I'm not saying I'm shocked like he tapped out like he's weak or anything. I'm just saying I'm shocked that he would even be out there if it was that questionable. Because normally, like, if you're not going to make it through warm-ups, you're not going to even go into warm-ups. Just not going to even attempt to practice,
he's
right?
In full pads.
Yeah.
He's
so
good to go.
What that implies to me, and I don't know this, look, just my opinion, trying to connect a few dots here, is that somebody's not on the same page. The trainers versus Bradley, whoever, somebody isn't on the same page. I mean, for him to even be told to go out there and go through warm-ups, it's almost like he was like saying, no, like I'm going to prove it to you. Like I'm not okay. I'm not okay. So I'm going inside right now. I mean, look,
well,
I'm not trying
He didn't go inside.
I'm pulling myself out right now.
Yeah.
And, it's a bad deal. So clearly things aren't looking very optimistic for this weekend. And then it turns into something bigger. And it's where are we? Just where are we, generally speaking, with Bradley Chubb?
I don't know.
What is really going on?
I'm trying to think how many other times hundreds of times I've been out there for this, like, first 15. Usually the first 15 minutes of practice, seriously, it's like you often wonder, why the hell are we even out here? Like, what am I doing here? Like, there's no point. I'm trying to think if I've seen other guys tap out.
Oh, I've seen it. I've definitely seen it.
During stretch.
Yeah, no, I've seen it plenty over the course of my career. Matter of fact, I've done it. It's happened to me before. And most of the time it happens when there is a difference of opinion on whether you're ready to rock and roll or not.
Okay.
And most of the time somebody's telling you that you're ready to rock and roll and you're like, no, I'm not. I'm not ready to rock and roll. I'll go out here. I'll do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, fellas, I tried. I'm not ready to rock and roll. So I'm not saying for sure that's what's going on with Bradley, but it's clearly not a good sign. Somebody on the text line points out, I think it's a good observation. The way things are starting with Bradley Chubb, he didn't play last week. Clearly, he doesn't look like he's going to play this week. If he's pulled himself out today and stopped looking very optimistic, at least, Well, maybe they should just put him on the IR. Start out the season on the IR, go 3 weeks, try to get yourself healthy and bring him back.
Maybe. I don't know. He's not, I don't know, man. It's not good. So we'll see. You know, this is you know, the way they do media. They do the players and coaches before the practice, so we don't get to ask Vic Fangio about it until tomorrow, but I'm sure it'll come up. But again, this is Fangio about Chubb, how he was after practice yesterday.
He came out good. I'd say he got about somewhere between 12 and 15 plays, did the individual work, hope to do a little more with him today and see where he's at.
No, well, he couldn't get through stretch. Not good.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, man. I mean, that's a little bit depressing. That's sad to hear. I hate to feel it. It does feel to me like somebody is telling him that he's healthy, and he's saying, no, I'm not, because it's just unusual for a guy to pull himself out in the middle of warm-ups unless there's a conflict going on.
All right, let me ask you this, because I just haven't seen it. Of course I believe you, and you said it happened to you yourself. So let me ask you this. When you've pulled yourself out of stretch, or you see guys who do that as they're warming up, do they normally, I mean, is that it for practice, or do they?
No, that's it. Yeah, you're done.
Because he went off with his group. You know, he didn't walk into the building or anything like that. He went off with his group and, you know.
Well, when you say he went off with his group, what do you mean? Like, he went off with his group and he watched, or he went off with his group and he practiced?
He went off. Well, they were doing.
Now I'm getting confused here.
They do individual position drills. So he went off.
Oh, so he did practice.
Well, he went off with his individual outside linebackers after the stretch was done. So the stretch is going on. They're doing high knees. He says, whatever, he walks off to the sideline. He's okay. With his helmet, talking to the trainers, and they're talking about stuff for quite a while. Then a couple minutes go by. He walks with the trainers to midfield to get some water and takes his helmet off. So you think, well, maybe he is done. The team is now done with the stretch. They gather in the middle of the field. They pick Josie Jewell to break things down. Chubb puts his helmet back on, goes over, 1, 2, 3, go Broncos. All the players go to their individual groups. He goes with the outside linebackers to their individual groups as they do a few drills before they get going with the practice. But that's all we're allowed to watch.
Okay, but just to clarify, because there's a huge difference, when he went with his group to positional drills, did he go over there and watch, or did he go over there and participate?
He was participating for the amount that we were allowed to watch.
Oh.
However, what he was participating in, the drills they were going through, were incredibly mild. I mean, it was really just a really mellow sort of hands sort of thing. It wasn't hard running.
Okay.
It was very, very light. And then we get kicked out of practice. So we don't know what happens next.
Well, I guess maybe that was my fault. I didn't understand that correctly the first time. But that's not the way that I heard it the first time. I thought you were saying, like, he pulled himself out of stretch and he was done for the day. Okay, you go over there. That could be one of a million different things. Sometimes you might be in the middle of stretch and you're like, hey, I actually need an active warm-up with a trainer one-on-one. I need a specific stretch. I'm going to go over here and work on this. I'm going to work on something else, something that I need to be more specific on. I don't know. I guess that is weird that he went back there and he actually participated in the drills, even if it was light, even if it was whatever. I mean, if he pulled himself out of the stretch, then he goes back into the positional drills. To me, that doesn't sound like he pulled himself out of practice. It sounds like he's practicing. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow when we talk to Vic. I guess that's my fault. I definitely did not understand that the first time.
Yeah. I mean, we're only allowed to watch so much. And sometimes they do some pretty active individual drills. Sometimes they don't. It's sort of group drills. And it was very light what they were doing. So I really have no idea, because then they're like, get out. And then you're like, we'll see.
It just sounds like he's a guy that's bandaging things. So maybe in the middle of the stretch, he needed to bandage something. And he needed to get something more specific stretched out. And then he goes over and he's going to do a light workload. That's what he was doing yesterday. He had a light workload he's going to do today. Maybe there's not much to see here at all.
Well, it stood out to me, because most of the times when guys do what, here's what I was expecting. I was expecting him just to go off with a trainer after what he did in the stretch. I really did expect him to just go off to the side. I didn't expect him to go into the building, but it wouldn't have surprised me if he like just took his pads off and went with a trainer. And what I have seen with guys, they go off either to the side or they go into the weight room. They go off into the other building to kind of be out of the public view to do whatever they're doing. I've seen that. You know, I've seen that a million times where guys actually go through stretch. They're done, like Glasgow today, went through all the stretching stuff. He just didn't, he wasn't wearing pads. He wasn't going through the practice itself, but he was doing the stretch. That happens all the time. The guys do that, like a Mike.
I'm gonna be honest, D-Mac, this sounds like a whole bunch of nothing so far, to be honest with you, because if you went back into the practice, then so he stepped out of warm-ups for a little bit. Like, I'm really not sure what to make of this.
But he stepped out of warm-ups when he was doing high knees, and that was too much for him.
But he went back to practice, right?
It's confusing, I'm telling you. I'm trying to do my best to explain why it was confusing today out there with Bradley Chubb. Okay. It was. I'm telling you, it was something I really haven't seen.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Well, you ever see Vaughn stop in the middle of the stretch and start dancing?
Yeah.
All the time, right?
I guess.
I mean, guys really do pull themselves out of stretch all the time. That's really not abnormal at all for somebody. Like, I wasn't there, so I didn't see. Like, if you're saying he was doing high knees and it was obvious he was in pain and he pulled himself out, then you saw what you saw.
That's what I saw.
Yeah, yeah. So, weird situation. I guess we'll find out tomorrow, man.
Right. The Courtland Sutton situation, like our guy, Andrew Mason, he does this video of Sutton yesterday, and everybody is like, not everybody, but it's like, it looks like he's limping. Now I get it. It's some sort of drill where like you plant your foot and you're shuffling your feet and you're doing something. So maybe it looks like you have a limp when you really don't have a limp, but he didn't look great going through that. And I'm watching Courtland Sutton today. He doesn't look great going through anything, Tyler. Mm-hmm. It's of course he's going to play. It's not like that. It's just the degree that he looks like going through the other things his teammates are going through. And he just doesn't look great. I don't know how else to put it.
You know what? I saw that video that Andrew Mason put out, and you know what that felt like to me? I'm not panicked about that video that I saw from Andrew Mason. It felt to me like that was, you know, when you get hurt and you're nursing an injury and you're coming back from a rehab, like I've had this really significant back issue going on for over a month now, but I've got a day here or there where I feel okay. But in those days here or there that I feel okay, sometimes I still kind of walk pretty gingerly, and I just walk like the habit, the routine that I've been in for the last month, because that's just kind of how I've been walking. So even though I'm not necessarily in as much pain as I was the day before, I'm just walking that way. So when I watched that video with Courtland Sutton, honestly, it felt to me like that was a dude that's the habit of how he's been walking. That's the habit of how he's been overcompensating with one leg. Because when I see him out there running routes, he doesn't run routes like that. Like that's not what he looks like when he's out there on the field. So in the middle of a positional warm-up drill to go through it, I think that was just like a habit. Like, he's been going through the rehab process and it was just a habit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's wearing that. Okay. I mean, he just doesn't look even close to 100%. I don't know what percent it is. Clearly, it's enough percent to play, you know, but I don't know. He only had three catches. I mean, or I'm sorry, three targets, one catch for 14 yards. Jerry Judy's not going to be out there. How much are you dependent on? What kind of week do you think Courtland Sutton would have this week? I mean, theoretically, he would have a huge week. He would be a big focus of everything.
I'm sure he will have a good week. I think Courtland's going to be a feature. He's voted captain, man. His peers clearly respect him. And I do believe that if his peers respect him, his quarterback probably respects him. And if Jerry Jeudy goes down, I do believe that, Teddy is going to look to Courtland Sutton a lot this week. So I'm not panicked about that video. I think he's going to have a fine week. Do I think that he's 100%? No, I don't. I mean, he's not 100%. But I've seen enough football from Courtland so far this year to know that he can make an impact. And it might not be the exact same that it was last year, but he can make an impact.
Draymond Jones is funny today. He like hates Urban Meyer. Did you know that?
I did not. Not until today. I do.
That?
I do now.
That was kind of caught me by surprise. I'm gonna guess he was a big player for Ohio State back in the day, but I mean, it was this exchange about Urban Meyer.
Am I surprised by it?
Oh, wait, hold on. It starts here.
My favorite memory from playing with Urban is back in, like, 2016 when we beat Michigan in, the last game, the last five for the playoffs. And then, like, the next, like, month, we got our butt whipped by Clemson. But, yeah.
And then?
Am I surprised by it? No.
Why?
Why? I just know how he is. I'm not about to go into great detail about it, but, like, you know, it doesn't surprise me.
So you asked him the first question?
I did not. I followed up with the lie.
Okay.
But the question was, are you surprised that he's not connecting with the vet players in Jacksonville?
Right. That's a fascinating response. No, I'm not. Why? Well, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but I don't like the dude. Looking back on it now, I realize that I never liked the dude. That's more or less what we heard right there.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
No, you know what? Actually, I don't even think that it really is. Like, I'm having a little bit of fun with it and taking some liberties with his response there. But sometimes, once you get in the NFL, you look back on things and you're like, yeah, I like you. You were a great coach for me when I was 18 years old, but that would never work in the NFL. Like, you could never treat a grown man the way that you were treating me when I was 18 years old. And maybe I needed that when I was 18. But now that I've got millions of dollars in the bank and whatever, starter in the NFL, you just can't treat guys the same way. So it might be a little bit of that as well, as he's just looking at it like the college approach just is not going to work at the NFL level.
Boy, I heard some, I keep hearing these horrible stories about Urban Meyer. I know he's Joel Klatt's best friend, but well, you don't have to roll over too many stones to have somebody talk crap about Urban Meyer.
You got something new? I mean, what else you got? We got some new stories?
It's just kind of talking to some of the writers out there. It's just like, oh, I heard this and I heard that and this, that, the other thing. Because
well, dude, I mean, he's left a disastrous trail almost everywhere he's been. It's he's had extreme success and then he's left. And then there's been problems that the schools have had to deal with after he's left. So that's kind of his rap, man. And here he is. He goes into the NFL. And in theory, well, you don't have to worry about the same stuff you used to have to worry about. Like Pete Carroll, you know, he kind of left at the right time with USC as well, and he hasn't had to worry about any of that stuff since he got into the NFL. It's just a matter of whether you're going to be able to relate to the guys like you could in college as a coach or not. That's going to be the biggest thing. Urban Meyer knows football. I have no doubt in my mind that he knows X's and O's, and he knows how to compete at the NFL level, but does he know how to manage people at the NFL level?
Are you surprised that a guy, even if he doesn't like his head coach from college, would down low, put him on blast, at all?
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't explain himself a little bit. I would get it if he was going the route of, NFL's just different. Things are different. And if he wanted to explain, like, hey, he's lived his whole life coaching 18-year-olds, and we're not 18-year-olds, and so it's not going to work the exact same way. It does feel a little bit surprising. Looking back on it, though, you say, all right, well, what was Draymond Jones' career like at Ohio State? Was there frustration? Was he underutilized? I don't really know his background with Urban Meyer. Was there always a background of not respecting the dude?
Got me. I don't know, man. You go to Ohio State, play for Urban Meyer, you probably had some pretty good years in there. I mean, I don't know how. Well, it sounds like they lost in a championship game there, Ohio State Clemson, because he said we got killed by Clemson. But I mean, I guess that ended poorly, obviously. But I don't know. It caught me by surprise. I don't know all the backgrounds with guys in there. I got to admit, this is another one. I just have never heard a guy like kind of badmouth his coach. Once he was in the pros, I mean, it doesn't come up all that often, so it's not like, somebody would be in a position to be asked about him. It was just kind of interesting, that's all.
Well, clearly he doesn't have a ton of respect for the guy.
No, and I mean, maybe it gives you some insight, by the way, with look at those headlines you were reading yesterday out of Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those headlines that I had yesterday, I don't have them pulled up at the moment, but it was just one after another about the disastrous start, Urban Meyer sabotaging things, Urban Meyer ducks Denver media, Urban Meyer's at odds with his players. It's just one after another.
Oh, by the way, maybe to give some, to have Amy's back, the PR person for the Jaguars a little bit, I talked to Arnie Stapleton today. He really did the legwork. He did the work. He contacted every single...
Wait, before you continue, do you just want to start with, you were right? You just want to go, you were right, Tyler?
How's your coffee?
Huh? It's good, but was that related to this? No.
No, but it's another, symbol of you were right. But let me give... I mean, you're going to be right.
Thank you.
You should be excited.
That feels good. I just wanted the proper respect before you went there.
So Arnie went through he contacted every single NFL team, and 9 teams are going to make the coach available. Like, flat out, we are. There's probably 5 or 6 teams that are like, we'll see. Yep. It is kind of like a week-to-week thing.
And if there's a story we want to manage, then we might let him out there, but otherwise probably not.
But more than half are just like,
right,
We're not doing it.
Yeah, totally made sense to me. That's why, honestly, when that was such a big story on day one, when I found out, I didn't know that they had the option to not talk to the media this year. And as soon as I found that out, I was like, well, almost every team's going to do that. Like, no head coach is going to want to talk to the media, especially, like, out-of-town media that doesn't have to be worried about seeing you again. Is going to ask tough questions. They're going to put you on the spot. Like, no NFL coach is going to want to do that. So I actually didn't think it was as big of a deal when Urban Meyer ducked out on it, because I just thought that all NFL teams were going to be like that.
You know, it actually, upon reflection, really isn't. And he's not doing anything that most coaches aren't doing. The problem was, it was just framed poorly because
Well, you know what the real problem was? Sorry. The real problem was that he had a distraction. He had the USC deal going on. So most teams are going to say no unless they've got a reason to try to get ahead of something. He had a reason to get ahead this week, and he didn't take advantage of it.
Right. Right. And the PR person for the Jaguars just kind of, there was other ways she could have framed it. She didn't have to, like, you know, come back and attack on social media. There's so many different other ways she could have handled it. So what he's doing isn't all that rare this year or unusual whatsoever. But to have the head PR team of a team, like, basically yell at Twitter at the local scribes for the other team and start a Twitter battle, that's unusual. That usually doesn't happen. But then again, this
is... I've seen Patrick do it with our own media members, though. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it with people from around town.
Yeah, but I mean...
I mean, is it unusual? Is that really unusual?
Have you ever seen Patrick Smythe rip on, like, a Raiders writer?
I can't say that I've seen that, but I've definitely seen him do it with guys in town. Like, if there's something that he needs to correct somebody on, he does it.
We got a Patrick laugh. Go ahead, hit it again if you're going to air the Patrick laugh. There it is.
That's solid.
All right, so we're off and running. Other fun stuff today. We talked to, coming up, we talked to Pat Shurmur about the running back situation. That was kind of interesting. Apparently, Pat Shurmur loves going for it on fourth down. I mean, he's all for it. And there were more going for it on fourth downs last weekend than ever in the NFL.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was just, it's not just Vic. It's a thinking now, and you saw more teams go for it on fourth down than ever before last weekend. How about that?
I love that.
So,
I can't wait to hear about that.
We'll get to all of that. So off and running, people are yelling at me already. All right. Well, we're off to a great start on that.
It was a confusing start.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Well, it was confusing to watch with Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sure. It was weird. We'll see where it goes, but I will be surprised at this point if he plays, and if he even if he does play, the degree that he'll, you know, really be playing or how effective he'll be, maybe it'll
be managed.
You know, somehow Evan Mathis didn't practice at all your last year, and
or DeMarcus Ware,
and you won a Super Bowl, and they both played, and they both played huge roles. So we'll see. Water cooler comes up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
I'm just laughing because there's so many angry people out there for me just describing what I saw. With video to support it, Tyler, you can go onto my Twitter and you can just look at the video and judge for yourself. But I'm looking at some of these, the text line. I'm not making something up or trying to exaggerate a darn thing. I'm describing exactly what I saw. There's video on Twitter that supports it. Do whatever you want with it. I don't know what's
going to
happen.
Now, which one are you talking about right now? Are you talking about Cortland or are you talking about Bradley Chubb?
The Bradley Chubb stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It makes me wonder what's going on with people in Bradley Chubb. Like,
Dude, I'm going to be honest. I mean,
what's going on with people in Bradley Chubb?
I think it was just a little bit confusing, to be honest with you, because the way that you set it up, it felt like he was out of practice. Like, he pulled himself out of practice, but then he kept practicing. It just got a little confusing, was all. That's all. It was just a little confusing.
Just to let everybody know, if you want to see it, because we are allowed to shoot the first. Usually nothing happens in the first 15 minutes of practice.
Right.
But
I'm always like, why do you guys go? what are you going to see today?
Usually we just go to talk to each other, to be honest with you.
Going
to
go keep a tally, see how many guys walked out there.
Well, that happens too. You kind of take care of that. I mean, whatever. Just go. Look at it. You judge. You look at it yourself and you can see if it means something, if it doesn't mean something. I don't care. Just let you know what's going on. That's all. Holy cow. I think there's some reason why people are, I think people are really nervous about Bradley Chubb.
Well, of course they are.
I think I'm guessing that's what it's all about.
Oh, and I absolutely get that, man. I mean, Bradley has got a lot of injuries, man. They piled up for a long time, and you had a late off-season surgery that I don't know why they didn't do it like at the very beginning of the off-season. Now you've got the other ankle. It's piling up, man. And then you add on top of that, like, Bradley's the ultimate what-if guy so far, because when he's been out there, what if we've had Bradley Chubb healthy the entire time? I mean, he looks awesome. He looked awesome this year in training camp. It was very limited, but he looked awesome. So there's so much hype and potential that is still wrapped around Bradley Chubb, and honestly, the team's going to need him.
The Chubb story was stupid. What do you mean stupid? Stupid? How is it? Okay.
I'm
losing it, I guess.
I had a hard time. It was confusing. It was just confusing. It wasn't stupid. It wasn't stupid. It was confusing.
I'm sorry I described exactly. Go watch the video, and then you can tell, you know.
I really do want to know, did he practice or not? And I know you don't know the answer.
Well,
because
nobody
knows. Yeah, I know. Right. I can't wait to find out tomorrow, like, what happened after that.
People killing the messenger. Yeah, no kidding. Lord almighty. All right. I got a couple things for you here in the water cooler. Do you want to hear about Von Miller, how he took a sack away from Shelby Harris?
Oh, this week?
No, in the past.
Oh, I got to think about that.
It's about teammates stealing stats from each other.
All right,
which
yeah.
is kind of fun. All right, so we'll start here. This is Vaughn about, this takes a little bit, but it's a kind of a cool story from Vaughn about, you know, sack numbers. Vaughn was great. Vaughn's great every time. He's highly entertaining to be around, no doubt about it. And he just said flat out, this is pretty funny, all I want to do is rush the quarterback. That's it. I don't want to drop in coverage. I don't want to do, I mean, I can do
yeah,
it all.
And it drives me nuts when we drop him in coverage, too. I'm like, why do we do that?
He made it abundantly clear that he's got no interest in that. Although he has one of his most iconic plays of all time, picking off Tom Brady when he dropped into coverage.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But he doesn't want anything to do with it.
How many picks does he have on his career? One?
Kevin, I have to look it up.
Two.
He's got that one against Tom Brady that we all remember. Anyways, all right, here he is about stealing sacks.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know, like you don't want to strain the friendship, you know. You don't want to strain the friendship with sacks, you know, and Draymond, I need him, so I want him to get sacks. You know, I want him to get sacks. I want him to be happy in there. You know, I want to get sacks. You know, I want to be happy as well. But when you got two guys that rush the way we rush, we're going to be close to the quarterback at the same time. You know, and it just happens. I told Draymond a story with Derek Wolfe. I think his first season here, he had like 7 sacks, and I probably took another 7. You know, away from him. Like I was there, he was there, and I was just happening to get on the quarterback before him, and Derek could jump on my back. So it's just one of those things when you got a lot of speed and you got a lot of rush. Is up front, you know, you're gonna be around the quarterback at the same time, and you know, both of those sacks that I had, you know, Draymond was right there, and you can tell, like, right after the play, you know, everybody's supposed to be celebrating, and you see Draymond just looking at me like, dang, walk off, and I totally understand that. You know, I got games and I got stuff that's called to help get Draymond free as well. Because it's just like basketball. You gotta, the big man, he has to eat. Kobe and Shaq, you know, Shaq is not going to be happy if he's not scoring points. Kobe's not going to be happy unless he's scoring points as well. So we're already developing a relationship where we both can eat, and I feel confident and I believe that we both can be able to get sacks and we both can do things to make this team win and get sacks and do all the wonderful things that we do.
All right, so that sounds cool, right? Like,
well, it's just funny because, I mean, like, in theory, like, who the hell cares who's getting the sack? We're trying to win a football game.
Oh.
But of course it matters.
Oh, yeah.
You know why it matters? I'm asking, do you know why it matters?
I have a suspicion it's because of financial.
Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, the incentives that are built into these contracts. I mean, the majority of these guys have got sack incentives. If you get six sacks, if you get eight sacks, if you get 12 sacks, what does it turn into? What's Von Miller's contract say if he gets 12 sacks, right? So of course it matters.
So he goes on. So he's fine with, like, Draymond or some guys. But not with other guys.
I mean, it's a lot of times where guys beat me, and I feel the same way Dre felt. Like, dang, I should have got that. Should have been me. But, yeah, it's been a couple of times that, you know, guys beat me. We got a lot of great rushers here, so, you know, it just happens, you know, and I just dust it off, and I just, you know, come back. And it really sucks when you get a really, really good rush. Like, you get an amazing rush, and you just feeling it in your mind and your heart, like, I'm about to get the quarterback, and then you just see somebody just run right in front of you and get the sack. You know, now I can think about it. I think Chubb has done me like that. Me and Chubb split a sack. My first sack on Patrick
Mahomes,
which is big for me because, you know, everybody wants to sack Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I beat my guy and I grabbed Patrick and then I ran into Patrick, into Chubb. And we both fell down at the same time, and they called it a half sack. So I couldn't, like,
it's a put very long explanation. Holy cow, I've never heard you play for so long.
And I was like, this is my whole sack. So I just had to, like, you know, charge it to the game. You know, I felt like, you know, Chubb is going to help me get more sacks, and I didn't want to really put that strain on our friendship like that by, like, being selfish. And even though the sack was really supposed to be a whole sack by me, you know,
you just got to
chalk it up, and you just got to keep
going.
For sure.
Like sack the quarterback. Like, what are we even talking about right now?
He goes on, if I don't know what cut is the Shelby Harris one, guys, but he goes on and talks about how, like, he went on to, like, challenge a sack that Shelby Harris got credit for, but he actually, like, challenged it.
Yeah, so,
like, he advocated to get a stat change because it was Shelby Harris.
Right. And you know what? I do understand that. I really do, especially if you've got incentives that are tied into it. If you go get a half sack, even if it was just going to be a half sack, but you don't get credited for it, and you go back, you watch the film, you're like, hold on, that was mine. You're going to call up the league. You're going to do your best to get your credit on that because that could be the difference of $500,000. It could be $3 million.
All right, well, I didn't know that players could or did sort of generate that. They get it going. They'll try to challenge.
You can challenge pretty much anything. You know, it doesn't get overturned off. Now, the last sack that I had overturned was in 2000. We played the Steelers, and it was the same game where Shelby had the interception. And I had beat my guy, and I grabbed I was on Big Ben, and Shelby came and jumped on his sack, and they called it a half. So me and Shelby is not like me and Chubb. I had to turn out. I had to turn that one in to get my full sack. And Shelby had to pick that game. He saved it, so I just let Shelby have that, and I had to turn that one in, and I had that one overturned to a full sack.
Seriously, I had no idea that players could actually institute that themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Get that going themselves.
Yeah, you can peel a lot of things, for sure.
That wouldn't feel like you did Shelby dirty there? That wouldn't
D-Mac, if you got $1 million on the line and all you need is one more sack,
you don't think
that's
Shelby
not doing someone dirty. That's protecting you.
Shelby wouldn't care. It wouldn't be a big deal for Shelby.
Well, it might be a big deal to Shelby. It might be the difference of $1 million for Shelby. I mean, I don't know what all their contracts are.
Right, that's where I'm kind of going. Like,
of course.
That would set up kind of a weird...
But D-Mac, when money's on the line, you look after you. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it always will be. When money's on the line, you look after you.
I would think that could set up a weird dynamic in the locker room between some guys if you thought you got something and then you turn
around.
Sure,
but I mean, honestly, the times that this pops up and that they actually will overturn it is like once every 3 or 4 years.
This isn't
something that pops up every other weekend here.
Hey, you learned something new. I didn't know that players themselves can initiate. I would just think like the PR people or someone would do it. But players actually
absolutely.
Go and say, hey, we got to get this. Okay. All right. Is there anything like that for offensive linemen?
You know, the closest I've been a part of that is I've gotten a rule change in the middle of a season, and on PAT and field goal rush, we, as an offensive line out in Washington, we were getting the, like, the two-man, like, train push-pushed, where they've got somebody behind them and they're just pushing down on you, and you've got, like, four bodies coming into one A-gap, and we appealed that, sent it into the league, said that somebody's going to get killed, and lo and behold, the next week they changed it. You can no longer do that.
All right. Well, let's get to the Pat Shurmur stuff about the running backs and the fourth down. That's kind of an interesting story out there today. That's next on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Man, what is going on with our listeners today, Tyler?
I don't know. I'm not worried about it. What do you mean? What's wrong with
it? I'm not worried about him either, but... Tyler, do you really think that's a motto to live by? When it comes to money, it's all about yourself? We're talking about people making millions and millions of dollars. Whatever happened to something about yourself, blah, 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 blah. I thought you were a Christian.
Oh, man. Yeah. I guess I'm not a Christian, because if I had a $3 million incentive, if I hit 10 sacks, if I was one away and I got a sack, if I appealed that so that I could get my millions of dollars, I suppose that would mean I'm no longer a Christian, right? Yeah.
It sounds like Vaughn's being greedy. Give me a break.
Oh, it doesn't.
How much? I don't think he sounded greedy at all.
Oh, no.
I got Vaughn's back on this one.
Well, it's silly. It's silly. The whole conversation was actually insane to me. Like, I don't even know how did everybody get hung up on that for like 15 minutes today? That was crazy.
Well, it was, I think it's just when you hear something you don't know and you've never heard before,
gotcha.
You get curious about it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know Draymond Jones, like, hated Urban Meyer. So that made me curious.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that players could even challenge their own stats.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Like, how do you even go? Oh, well, I did ask Vaughn how you go about it. And he just, you know, just talk to, like, there's guys that just deal with it.
You appeal with the league. Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I don't have a problem with it. You got to fight for yourself. And then I'm talking to Troy Rankin. He goes, yeah, Todd Helton used to do that with errors all the time. I go, really?
It makes sense.
He goes, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I've had coaches go to battle for me, mostly when it comes to fines or penalties. You know, it was different because it was a fine. It's not like it was like I was trying to get credit on a stat line for something. But, you know, I had a leg whip out in New York. It was a terrible feeling. We were playing the Giants. We had like a 45-yard breakaway touchdown run. And it got called back because of a leg whip that I had. I got like 15 flags that landed on my head. I got a letter a couple days later, got fined $15,000. And fortunately, Mike Shanahan was like, Tyler, nah, that's not going to happen. Like, I'm going to battle for you.
Yeah.
And Shanahan took his time out of his day to go fight an appeal process for me. Didn't get it all the way taken away, but got it cut in half, which was huge.
Here's a kind of interesting one. Scott V and Englewood. Hey, guys, how does a player changing a sack or rule potentially change the year and team or player results on fantasy results? It does make a difference. That happens all the time. You know, depending on how much you're into fantasy leagues, Tyler, there's stat corrections at the end of a week. So you may think you have won. In fact, I think there's some. Oh, my God. I think Mike Greenberg did a story. I don't know if you've seen that series on ESPN. It's called Better. And he just talks about, like, bad beats and gambling stories.
Okay.
And he talked about a guy who thought he had $1 million. He had won some sort of fantasy $1 million thing.
And it gets corrected 2 days later.
He got a stat correction. And he lost out on what he thought was $1 million.
Brutal. Yeah, that's that can't be a good feeling.
All right. Is Pat Shurmur growing on you at all?
It's a very vague question. Is he growing on me?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
I mean, he's called one football game. I like the way he called it. You know, we've been down this road before where I've seen him call a game the way that I want him to call the game last year in Carolina. And I was like, I just don't think he has it in him. I don't think he's going to be able to do that on a long-term basis. I don't think that Pat has, like, any characteristics when he gets in front of a microphone that makes me feel like, wow, I want to root for that guy. He's very dry. He's very boring. He's not charming. So, no, not yet.
Okay.
Is he growing on you or something?
A little bit.
Why?
It's like real little stuff. I mean, it's kind of happening slowly. There's a little bit more sense of humor. There's a little bit more balance. There's some of his answers are kind of interesting as you know, kind of being well thought out. He's not real short with you. I don't know, just a little bit. It's a slow burn. Trust me, it's not anything overwhelming. But like on the fourth down thing today, about going for it on fourth down.
Well, I love it. So just mark me down for let's do it. I think that's an important piece, and really the way it plays out in the game. Coach just says, hey, we're going for it. So my concern is, okay, it's fourth and whatever. What we were actually trying for us, and you know, I think it's good. I think you know, it's strategic to go for it. You know, and there's certain times when you don't, and there's certain times that you do. And my responsibility is to make sure when the boss wants to go for it, do our very, very best to put the players in the best position to make it work.
He said that when it came to the fourth down stuff, like there was no conversation. Vic was just like, go for it. You know, that's as long right. and drawn out of a conversation that they had. And he said, well, when he was a head coach, you know, he was the guy that would just say, go for it.
Yeah.
So there's not some sort of big, long conversation.
You asked Pat about going for it as an offensive coordinator versus as a head coach, and he's going to have very different responses. Like when he when he had that head coach hat on, he was going to think that thing through a little bit further because he had to deal with the consequences if it didn't work out. As an offensive coordinator, you're like, heck yeah, let's go for it every time. Well, just give me an opportunity to keep my unit on the field a little bit longer.
How often would you guys actually practice like fourth down, like we're gonna go for it in this situation, or work on.
It's not really like something that you practice. Like like there's situational football that pops up for sure.
Yeah.
Down and distance, clocks, sudden change, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But fourth down isn't something that you really practice because it's just a play call. Like it's not a particular situation. You practice those play calls when you're doing team blitz, when you're doing team pass. The play calls that you would use is just whenever, like, is it third and long? Is it third and short? Where are we, right?
All right, well, let me ask you this then. When you were playing offense, which you always played, when a fourth down play was called, did it feel different? Did things tighten up a little bit? Do you feel like, oh, wow, okay, here we go. Like, there's something different about this than any other down.
Well, it would feel like third down. That's what it'd feel like. And,
okay.
And third down, especially as an offensive lineman, I mean, if it's third and long, hey, man, that's a scary moment. It is. You know, when the entire building, everybody that's watching on TV, when everybody and their mother knows that it's a pass right now, and you've got Von Miller on the other side, and he gets to tee off, he gets to try to time that snap count. He doesn't have to worry about play action. He doesn't have to worry about the run. All he's going to do is try to go rush that quarterback. That's a scary moment on third down. So that's like your adrenaline gets pumping more than any time on third and long. Fourth down, it's really the same feeling. It's just replicated twice.
Vaughn admitted today he forgot he was mic'd up. He said something to Teddy Bridgewater that he really didn't want anybody else to hear. He explains why coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.